Even if the word of God is being preached from this pulpit, have your Bibles to make sure that the things that are said are in line with Scripture. Amen? Open your Bibles to Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It is a scripture that is well known. Isaiah 40, 31, and we read, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Hallelujah. Can our children go upstairs so that they can be taught at a level that is conducive to their spiritual growth? "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You see, the Christian walk is filled with principles that are designed to prosper us, to make our lives devoid of pain and sorrow and unnecessary challenges. And one of those principles is the exhortation of Isaiah 40, 31, waiting on the Lord. Amen? That's the title of my message, Waiting on the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, precious Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of being able to share your word with your children. We thank you that you are present, for your word says where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are present. We pray, God, that you opened our minds and our understanding, that we can receive from you today that which you have to impart to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, waiting on anything can be so hard. We don't like to wait, do we? We don't like to wait for the computer to boot up. We don't like to wait for the light to turn green when we are driving, or even for the oven to preheat before baking, or a scheduled call to come in. We don't like to wait. Waiting seems like a waste of time, especially when we have so much to do. It is so hard to sit still. But brothers and sisters in Christ, without a doubt, waiting on the Lord is the most difficult of all. Even though the book tells us, the word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, 2 Corinthians 1, 20, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." All of God's promises are yes and amen. In other words, God says, when I make a promise, it will come to pass. But we don't want, or we don't like to wait for his promises to be fulfilled. That's one of the shortcomings of our Christian walk. God has set up principles and guidelines that will lead you to what he had in mind for you. Jeremiah 28, hallelujah, 11 said that my mind towards you is not one of evil, nor to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. And waiting is one of those principles that we must train ourselves if we want to realize the promises of God on a timely manner, just as God has intended it to be. Even though God hears and answered the prayers of his children, we do not like to wait for the manifestation of our answered prayers. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 through 8, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. No, we don't mind asking, but we don't want to wait to receive. We don't mind seeking. So as long as we find it right away. Knocking is not the problem. We just don't want to wait for the door to be opened. It is said that we lived in a microwave society. We want everything to fall in our laps. Pre-cooked food. Instant coffee. Door-to-door service. Information at our fingertips, and even the hand of God to move at our beck and call. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are like me, waiting on the Lord for something he has promised, if you are like me, waiting on the Lord for something he has promised you, watch out. Guard the temptation to take matters into your own hands or to turn ahead or to run ahead of him. Impatience is risky business and more than likely will result in delay or disappointment, failure, or even disaster. God has made promises to us, and we can't wait for those promises to be fulfilled. And so we have a tendency to yield to the temptation of taking matters into our own hands. Oh, hallelujah. God made some promises to Abram, later called Abraham, in the book of Genesis chapter 12. I would like for you to turn to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, in chapter 12. And we read verse 2, and then we will read verse 7. But here are some of the promises that God made to Abraham. In verse 2, he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And so God instructed after that, God instructed Abraham to leave Haran, the place of his father, and take his wife and his belonging and go to the land of Canaan. And there the Lord spoke to Abraham again in verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. That's the land of Canaan. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Farther down in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 16, the Lord appeared to Abraham again concerning the same matter. His promises just get... He gets better and better all the time. He says, and I will make your descendants as dust of the earth. So if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendant also could be numbered. Well, God is promising Abraham nations. Hallelujah. And nations. Even God even added some additional promises to the promise that he gave Abraham. Further down in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, and verse 1 through 6 rather, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. God is our shield. He is our exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and heir to my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. So Abram has no children. And so this boy born in his house would be the inheritor of all he has after he dies. But God said to Abraham, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying in verse 4, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars. If you are able to number them, then, and he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So God is strengthening his promise to Abraham. And Abraham, the Bible tells us in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Back in the day of Abraham, hallelujah, righteousness. Abraham could not and was not the righteousness of God because Jesus has not yet come. But when they believe God and take God at his word, it is accounted to them as righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Today, the Bible says that we have become the righteousness of God because we have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have God's righteousness living on the inside of us. Hallelujah. It is far better covenant than that was with Abraham. Hallelujah. You have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, meaning that he has been born again. Simply that, you have been crucified with Christ if you are a child of a living God. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life we live today should not be lived according to our own accord. It should be lived according to the will of God. For he has purchased us with his blood, and he has made us into it. Hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. He has given to us the life and nature of his Father. Hallelujah. So we no longer live to ourselves. We should be living according to the nature that we are. And that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We live by faith. We live according to the word of a living God. Praise the name of Jesus. Abraham believe what God said, and God accounted it to him as righteousness. We must take God at his word. We must wait on the Lord. He is faithful to his word. His word is his integrity. God's word has been placed above the name of his own son. His word will not return to him void. It will accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it. And it will be successful in the thing that he has said it. His word will not return to him void. His word is the power of him to salvation for all who will believe, the Jews and the Gentiles. If you believe, the circumstances, the situations, the predicament, hallelujah, that you find yourself in, God's word is able to deliver you and set you on higher ground. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. As children of God, we do not allow the circumstances or situations around us to distract us from what God's word says. Too often, we look and we see things happening in our lives and we said to ourselves, wow, I just can't depend on the word of God because it seems as if though he is not hearing me. I can't depend on the word of God because it seems as if though what I need is now and he wants me to wait. I don't want to wait. So I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I am going to lean on my own strength. I'm going to lean on my own understanding. And I am not going to acknowledge God. Why? Because I will not wait on the Lord. Abraham believed God, yes. But like many of us, he was impatient. He knows that he is getting older. And to the natural mind, the older you get, the possibility of having children has decreased. And if he is going to have children, now is the time. Abraham was impatient. He did not wait on the Lord. He took matters into his own hand. In Genesis chapter 16, and we read from verse 1 through to verse 4. Now listen. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maid servant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Stop right there. Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. This was Abraham's big mistake. He heeded the voice of another instead of the voice of God. We, brothers and sisters, must be careful we don't make the same mistake that Abraham made. He heeded the voice. God spoke to him in several different occasions. He spoke to him before he left Haran. He spoke to him when he got to Haran, to Canaan. He spoke to him again about the stars, his children, counted as the stars in the heaven. He spoke to him about his children be counted as the dust on the earth. He spoke to him concerning the matter of what he would become a father of many nations. But he heeded the voice of Sarai instead of the voice of God. Let's continue to read verse 3. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. I want you to look at something here. As soon as Hagar knew she was pregnant, trouble started. I tell you, when you divert or when you look away from God's instruction, it's trouble time. As soon as Hagar knew she was pregnant, trouble started. There was dissension in the camp. Hagar must have said to herself, I am more important to Abraham than Sarai because I am pregnant with his child. Be careful the decisions you make. Let the Lord be your guide. Seek God's counsel before you make decisions pertaining to your relationships, your marriage, your family, your livelihood. Verse 4 says, and when she saw she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10, 14 and 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Everywhere we turn, voices are heard. Everywhere we look, voices are being spoken. Not necessarily the voice of a human being. It could be the voice of the big city. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Everywhere we turn, we see the glitter. We see the promises of prosperity. We see a template that seems as if though it's going to bring us joy and contentment. And these things are speaking out to us. Everywhere we turn, we hear voices of individuals at our jobs, in our neighborhood, and at our building that we lived, in our family members. Even our wives and our husbands, voices is coming and it is filling our ears. But brothers and sisters, we must guard the temptation to yield to the voice that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Mind you, you may hear your husband speak or your wife speak, but the Bible tells us, test every spirit. In other words, I want you to go and check to see if what is being said to you is in line with scriptures. If it is contrary to God's principles, do not yield or heed that voice. Hallelujah. Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. God did not give Sarah the instructions or the promises. He gave those promises to Abraham. And the Bible says Abraham believed. And even though he believed, he allowed the voice of his wife to distract him. He heeded to her voice. When we make decisions, be sure that the voice you listen to is the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. When we listen to a voice without consulting with God, we run the risk of giving the devil an inroad into our lives. The devil steps in and he begins to twist and distort the truth. He will not stop until he robs you of your joy and your peace. He will bring strife into your marriage, your household. He comes to sabotage your future and will not stop until he has destroyed and ultimately killed you. Not waiting on the Lord is hindering your blessings. It is hindering your blessings. The Bible tells us that the devil is a father of lies. The Bible says that the devil is a deceiver. The Bible says that he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. When we do not wait on the Lord, we give him an inroad. We give him the opportunity that he needs to create havoc in our lives. Now, not waiting on the Lord, Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, in according to Genesis 16, verse 16. If you want to confirm it. But Ishmael was not the promised child of God. The promised child of God was Isaac. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 21, verse 5, now Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. Because of Abraham's impatience, because he did not wait on the Lord, because he took matters into his own hand, he wasted 14 years before he received the promised child of God. We can create great delays and unnecessary challenges in our lives when we don't wait on the Lord. Things can go wrong very quickly because we become impatient. Moses was another who was impatient, and he did not wait on the Lord. For 400 years, God heard the cries of his children. They were in bondage in the land of Egypt. They suffered the day and they suffered at night. And the Egyptians were cruel to them. For 400 years, God heard their cry. Finally, God's deliverer was born. His name was Moses. And he was groomed to become a leader in the house of Pharaoh. The leader who will lead God's people out of the bondage of Egypt. And the time was just right. Moses was ready, but he was impatient. He did not wait on the Lord. He took matters into his own hand. Moses saw the injustice of his people, the injustices people were experiencing. And he stepped in to help. And in the process, he killed an Egyptian taskmaster. And so, fearing for his life, he fled Egypt. When Moses fled Egypt, he was 40 years old. From the time the deliverer was born, the people of Israel remained in bondage for 40 years. And now the time is ripe for their deliverance. You know, sometimes we wait a long time for God, for the promises of God to be realized. But God's timing is always right. He's never too late. He's always on time. And God knows why sometimes he does not open the door at that given moment. But from the moment you cry out, he hears your prayers. And sometimes it's not God who keeps the door closed. Sometimes the adversary is trying to block that answer from coming to you. It's like the man of God, Daniel, who prayed, and while he was praying, the Bible says God answered his prayer, and the answer to his prayer was received, was realized, while he was still praying. And then the Bible says he prayed again. And this time, he prayed for 21 days before the answer to his prayer was realized. The angel of the Lord said to Daniel, he says, from the first moment you prayed, God heard and answered your prayers. But the prince of Persia prevented it. Brothers and sisters, we must be patient and wait on the Lord. The Lord hears the prayers of his children and he answers it. Know that God has heard your prayers and he answered it. We wait patiently. The kind of patience that we're talking about is the kind that I am going to wait on the Lord in faith. I am going to wait on the Lord because I know his word cannot return to him void. I am going to wait on the Lord because his word is his integrity. I'm going to wait on the Lord because the scripture tells me that he looked to his word to perform it. I'm going to wait on the Lord because all the promises of God are yea and amen. I am going to wait on the Lord because he is faithful. I am going to wait on the Lord because I believe him. And the Bible says if we believe him, if we love him, we follow his instructions. I am going to wait on the Lord. Moses did not wait. From the moment he was born to when he was 40 years old, the children of Israel remained in captivity. They remained in bondage under the taskmaster's whip, working night and day and living in unhealthy conditions. The time was right. He should have just waited for the word. God knew the time was up. But Moses took matters into his own hands. And the Bible said he had to flee Egypt. And he spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. Until he returned to Egypt as the promised deliverer of God to deliver the people of Egypt out of bondage. The people spent another 40 years under the whip of Egypt because Moses was impatient. You see, what this account tells us is this. We as God's children, we as the ones God has given the authority, we as the one that God has promised prosperity and success and tranquility and peace, we hold in our hands the key that can allow our family members and our loved ones to experience that kind of joy through us. When we wait on the Lord, those in our lives may experience the peace that is provided through prosperity, the peace that is provided through protection, provision. When we wait on the Lord, those in our family household may experience the anointing power of God when we lay hands on them when their bodies are not well. When God opened doors for us, they can step in through us and enjoy the pleasures of God because we remain faithful to God. But when we become impatient, when we decide we will lean on our own understanding and we will lean on our own strength and we will not acknowledge God, brothers and sisters, we are doing our family members, not only ourselves, our loved ones, a disservice. Especially if we have children. Especially if we have very close family members that is dear to us. We are doing them a disservice. Here is Moses. Because of his impatience, the people he loved dearly, the people he called his own, even while he lived in the Pharaoh's house, the people he yearned to set free, he yearned every day. The Bible says Moses went out and he saw the great injustice the people suffered under the hands of a Pharaoh who was wicked and callous to their need. And he waited. But if he had waited just a little longer, they would be free. But because of his impatience, 40 more years. 40 more years they suffered. Waiting on the Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, is important. Lord, I ask you to help me to wait. Because impatience will rob me of my blessings and may also rob my family members and friends and neighbors of their blessing because I did not wait. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, I'm going to get into this scripture next week. It's so awesome. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Give the Lord a hand. Praise the name of Jesus. Abraham should have waited. If Abraham had waited, all the problems in the Middle East would not be going on. If Abraham had waited, there would have not been dissension in his camp. If Moses had waited, his people would not suffer another day longer than they should in bondage. And if we wait on the Lord, the will of God will come to pass in our lives. The mind of God will be realized in our lives. And here is the mind of God. Jeremiah, hallelujah, 29:11. The mind that I have towards you, says the Lord God Almighty, is not one of evil, nor to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope in the future. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Father, in the name of Jesus, teach us to wait. The song says, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up with wings like eagles. Hallelujah. They will run and they won't get tired. They will walk and they will never faint. Lord, your strength is in us because you have strengthened us. Lord, your authority has been given to us because you gave it to us. All of your blessings pertaining to this life and godliness is ours because of Jesus. All spiritual blessings is ours because of Jesus. But you have given us the freedom of choice. And Lord, we choose to wait on you. We choose to believe you, take you at your word, and then patiently by faith wait for your promises to be fulfilled in our lives. Lord, help us not to allow circumstances, situations, dilemmas, surroundings to distract us or derail us from what we know we should do. Live by your word and trust you. Take you at your word. But without faith, it is impossible to please you. I pray for every individual in this building that they, O Lord, will hear this message and begin to practice waiting on the Lord, not allowing the devil to deceive them, nor to trick them, or to tempt them into going or heeding a voice that is contrary to the word. Bless them, O Lord, as they wait. Keep them afloat. Keep them strong and healthy as they wait. And allow them, O Lord, to enjoy the riches of your promises, not only in their own lives, but for the lives of their family members and friends, and even their enemies. I praise you, I worship you, I magnify you, I give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes.